Welcome to our Sunday night Bible study. Jesus' last words while he was hanging on the cross, he spoke out loud. He declared it for all to hear. He uttered a loud cry to his Father in heaven for the whole world to know, and for every evil force to have to flee, for Christ's work on the cross was complete. His work on earth was done. His work on earth was accomplished. He paid the cost of our sin debt in full. Last words have power and often deep meaning and significance. And if you're like me, any of you have ever been at the side of a precious friend or family member who was whispering final words in their last moments here on earth, you know the incredible heart connection they hold for you personally. We often find ourselves clinging to those words as we think about our loved one who has passed away. We treasure what they said and we remember them for a lifetime. There's no doubt that Jesus knew what his last words needed to be here on this life as he passed away. He knew the power of these final words would have for generations to come. And he had great purpose in them. While still breath, such life and meaning for our lives today. As we continue our study on the Bible, we're going to look tonight at the power of Jesus' last words, the meaning behind the words, "It is finished." Open your Bibles to John chapter 19 and let's read verses 19 through 30. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on a cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests and the Jews to Pilate, "Write not, the King of the Jews, but he said, I am King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he unto his disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciples took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things should be accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a set of vessel of full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come tonight to study your word. We pray, Father, that you would take this word and plant it in our hearts and let us know what those final words meant that Jesus spoke. It is finished. We bless you. We thank you, Lord, for him going to the cross and dying for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for his resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for his ascension into heaven where he makes intercession for every believer. We pray, God, that you would take this word and plant it in our hearts, use it to strengthen our faith in you, For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. The meaning of the words, "It is finished," and why it's so significant. The Spurgeon Study Bible, a CSB translation edited by Alistair Begg, explains "it is finished." There is only one Greek word for this utterance of our Lord's last words. Although the translation it in into English, we have used three words, an ocean of meaning in a drop of language. Jesus became the final and ultimate sacrifice for our sin. The word in this verse, "finished," is actually from the Greek word tetelestai, which is the same word that means paid in full. Often, it was used in an accounting term, which indicates a debt was paid. The uniqueness about the way it is written in that the tense of the word indicates both a point in time it was complete and that it would also continue to be complete or finished. And this is the essence of what Christ came to do. He came to finish God's work of salvation in us. He came to pay it in full, the entire penalty or our debt for our sins. He's at work in our world still today in powerful ways. The ESV Study Bible comments, "It is finished," proclaims that all the work the Father had sent Jesus to accomplish was now completed, particularly his work of bearing the penalty for our sins. This means there was no more penalty left to be paid for our sins, for all Jesus' suffering was finished. Now, the second point I want to show you tonight, did Jesus ever sin? The Bible is very clear in reminding us that Jesus had no sin. He lived perfect life. He was without blemish, and this is the only way he could fulfill the purpose that God has sent him to do. Though he was tempted in all things, just as you and I are, he lived without sin. He lived a holy life, completely in the will of his Father. Paul says this, "For we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." There's no other way for the door to be opened for us to have a relationship with God, but by forgiveness of our own sin through Christ's payment on our behalf when he had opened the door to the Father. Thirdly, what does it mean that the veil was torn in half? Many people ask this question. What is the meaning of this veil being torn in half? We've looked at what the final word, "it is finished," it meant that our sins had been paid in full, that the price had been paid. So, what did it mean for the veil to be torn in half? The day of Jesus' crucifixion was a day of miracles. For at the very moment that Jesus breathed his last breath, the temple veil that covered the entrance to the Holy of Holies, the actual dwelling place of God among the people, was torn in two from top to bottom. Sometimes, in our minds, we may picture a thin veil covering this entrance. But history records that the veil was about 60 feet tall and up to 4 inches in thickness. The size of the veil would have made it impossible for any human to have torn it into two pieces. This was a complete miracle from God's hand, signifying that he opened the door for us to come in and have a relationship with him without the need of a priest. Now I know the Catholics still say that you must go through a priest to have your sins forgiven. But let me tell you something. You cannot have your sins forgiven by anyone on this planet except Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that can forgive you of your sins. He is the only one that can take your sins away because He died for our sins and He paid the full cost for our sins. So we need to remember that He alone can pay for our sins. He was the final sacrifice that God had. Now I know in the Old Testament, as we recall in the Old Testament, they shed the blood of animals, a lamb without spot of the first year. That lamb they shed was a picture of the final sacrifice that Jesus would give on the cross. That was simply a picture, and that sacrifice could roll the people's sins a year apart from where they were now, a year ahead. But Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, when He said it is finished, He meant that it is finished. The last sacrifice that would ever be needed, the last sacrifice that would ever be offered for our sins was the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin. So, this miracle that Jesus performed, hanging on the cross, shedding His blood for our sins, when He said, "It is finished," He meant exactly that. It was finished. No other sacrifice would ever be have to given. No other sacrifice would ever have to be offered. No other sacrifice would ever be needed to forgive people of their sins. And also, the veil being torn. We want to talk about that. What was the meaning of the veil being torn? The meaning of the veil being torn was that His people, Christians, would never have to go to a priest again because Jesus became our high priest in heaven. He is our priest in heaven that forgives our sins. He is the one that we go to have forgiveness of sin, and He is the only one that we can pray to that will forgive our sins. Now, I know what the Catholics say. The Catholics still say you have to go through a priest. But that is not scriptural, because Jesus made a way. Now, in the Old Testament, we remember that the high priest had to go behind the veil and pray for the people in the presence of God after He cleansed Himself in the outward court. He went behind the veil to pray for the people's sin. No longer would that have to be done. No longer would we need a priest. No longer would we have to go behind the veil. Would any priest need to go behind the veil? Because the veil was rent in two. Now, this was a complete miracle from God's hand. God ripped the veil, not man. God ripped the veil, signifying that He opened the door for us to come in to Him in His presence with our prayers and have a relationship with Him without the need of a priest. So I want you to remember that. Now, what does Jesus' death mean for us? Well, up until the time of Christ's death, there was a system set in place where sacrifices had to be offered for sin. It was complicated and it was difficult. Frequent sacrifices were required for all types of things. It was the only way people could be forgiven, and it was the only way to be made right again. People sin every day. They did then, and we do now. And that sin cost us greatly. It separates us from God. It sets a barrier between us and God. It leads to further drifting away from what we know to be right, and often leads us to great despair. But the hope that we have Now, because of Christ's death on the cross and his ultimate sacrifice on our behalf is this. He completed the work. Notice, it is finished. He completed the work. He paid the sacrifice in full on our behalf. No other payment is needed. He just asked that we accept his gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus came to save. He came to rescue us, a people without true hope. He came to give us a lasting life and freedom that we can only find through him. So I want you to remember that. I want you to remember these three things. What did his last words mean? It is finished. It meant that he was the last sacrifice that would ever have to be offered. No more would animal sacrifices be needed. No more would the shedding of blood of an animal be done. Because Christ's blood paid for every person's sin once and for all. Christ's sacrifice on the cross completed the work God had sent him to do. It was finished. It was completed. No longer would anyone have to go to a priest because the veil was rent from top to bottom. Listen. Now, did people know who Jesus was when dying on the cross? That's the fifth point I want to bring up. Did people know who Jesus was when dying on the cross? Lives were changed that day Jesus cried out those powerful words. Many began to realize who Jesus really was. The truth revealed. They could no longer deny it. Matthew 27 verse 54 says this. Now when the centurion and they were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "This was the Son of God." Truly, this was the Son of God. The realization sank in about who Jesus was. The truth had the power to change lives, to make all things new, to offer fresh starts, new beginnings, forgiveness, and a purpose for life. Lives are still being changed today by the one who saved us from debt we can never fully repay. Sixthly, what does "it finish" mean to us today? What did those last words mean to us today? Well, these words mean that Christ has overcome. He has won the victory, and that through him we too are more than conquerors. Those words mean we've been set free. Those words mean he paid the price we owed on our behalf. Those words mean there's nothing we could ever do outside a relationship with Christ to earn God's favor or love. Those words mean he offers us a free gift. Those words mean the way is clear to God. Those words mean we don't have to live under the weight of condemnation, guilt, or shame. Those words mean there's forgiveness through Jesus. Those words mean we have purpose, hope, and eternal life through him. Those words mean we are loved more deeply than we could ever imagine. Next, how can we find peace and courage from Jesus? That's the last topic I want to talk about tonight. How can you find peace and courage from Jesus? If you find yourself in a hard place today, take courage, my friends. Only in Christ is true peace to be found. He reminded us in his words that in this life we would have troubles, but we can find courage because he has overcome the world. In spite of the struggles we may face in this life, we never walk alone, for he is always with us. The Bible proclaims, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Listen, my friends, He will never abandon us in our trials or leave us to walk it all out on our own. Jesus never called us to embrace the world and all its offers, but He calls us to take up our own cross and to follow Him, to be salt and light in this world, and to walk in love. It's a whole new day ahead, and He has a plan for you and for me to make a difference in these days and in the life of another soul for His purposes, praying that His huge grace, wisdom, and strength cover us today. And that is that in Him we will find freedom from worry as we look and let go of the stress that clings so tightly to us. We find freedom from the pressing needs of tomorrow and the struggles we battle today, so that we can finally embrace His gift of forgiveness and love. He, Christ, is the overcomer, and we are never alone. Let me tell you something, my friend. These points I've shown you tonight are true in the Bible. Jesus' last words as He hung on the cross, "It is finished." He spoke seven great words while He was on the cross, but the last one He ever spoke was, "It is finished." His words had great meaning to those that were there today and to us today. Those words meant that the full price had been paid. Those words meant that we would never have to offer our lives to a priest ever again, that we could go directly to God, and we could have forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. And that forgiveness of sin is not until we sin, but it is for eternity. Forgiveness through the forgiveness of Christ is for eternity. Now, all of us sin. Romans 3:23. "For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." Listen, my friends, we all fall short of God's glory. But that does not mean that we cannot be forgiven of our sin. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness." So, "it is finished" means that Christ paid the ultimate price for our sins. He finished the sacrifices that were started in the Old Testament, the sacrifice of the blood of animals. He finished everything that needed to be finished. He had finished the work God had sent Him to do, and He completed that work in His broken body upon the cross. Now, I want to talk to you again about the veil, because that is very important. The veil that was rent in two from top to bottom. Now, if it had been ripped in two from bottom to top, we might have said somebody cut the fabric and just ripped it. But the Bible says that this was 60 feet tall and up to 4 inches thick. So, it had to be a miracle of God for Him to rip it from the top to the bottom. That, my friend, was a miracle indeed. Top to bottom, not bottom to top, top to bottom. So, we understand the ripping of that veil was a complete miracle from God, and it signified, more than anything, that we no longer had need of a priest. So, I want you to take that with you tonight. And I want you to remember that Christ died. And when He died on the cross, when He said, "It is finished," Christ made you an overcomer. Christ made you more than a conqueror. Christ set you free. Christ died on your behalf. Christ offered that free gift of salvation to you if you would only accept it. Christ's forgiveness through Jesus is complete. Christ's forgiveness of all of our sins is complete. And you can only find peace through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You can only find peace through His mercy, His grace, and what He offered on the cross of Calvary. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come tonight to study Your Word. And Father, we pray, God, that everyone would understand this. They would take it to heart what those final words meant. It is finished. And what the veil being rent means to us today. We no longer need a priest to pray to. We no longer a priest to go to God for us. We can go to God ourselves, full assurance that He's going to hear our prayers. Father, we thank You, Lord, for dying for us on the cross. We thank You, Lord, for those final words You spoke. We thank You, Lord, for the veil written from top to bottom. We thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace You show to us each day. We bless You, we praise You, we glorify You. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.